You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 32. In our study, we have found that Israel is being devastated by Nebuchadnezzar, and all of that in the light of Jeremiah 30, 31, 32. And God has given encouragement to the remnant, to men like Jeremiah, that God is going to complete and finish and outwork and finish his plan. So God's original plan has to come to pass. And therefore, as we read in chapter 32, verse 39, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that purpose they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them." And so God has given a wonderful, wonderful commitment to the future and his program. And we looked at that. So, and my question then to us, God, did they have that at the beginning? Well, they had it, but they didn't fulfill it. And so God is going to make sure that it is as he planned. So therefore, to get that and to keep that in mind, in light of what we shared Sunday, etc., keep in mind his time, the calendar, and the clock. And time can't be measured, and we did all that, so you see it from... Time is something we use all the time. That's what we do. But that isn't... Time isn't the issue, because there is no time like that, technically. So in the process... We looked at now, N-O-W, now, and everything, if you can think about it, as we shared, everything in, there's no creation, nothing, no universe, no stars, there's nothing. And God, in his marvelous mind and heart, as it were, has this plan, creation, and a most wonderful angel's creation, a wonderful, wonderful movement to glorify himself. As God sees that plan, has that plan, it is one large now. So everything is there now, and we share that. Now you have to understand that's how it is now. Now. It's all at once. Like we had with the map and everything. The whole thing is there in front of God now. All of that now has to be worked out to fulfill all that God is looking at. And so God creates the heavens and the earth and all of those things. And God did all that. Now, having said that, in the light of that now, and God is, and having done that, so Israel, in their program, God sees Israel as the nation, like in the millennium, to be the nation to the world. He sees all of the glory of Israel. Israel doesn't see it; they don't even understand it. But technically, most of them don't understand it. They don't even pursue it. So. Having said that, and keeping that in mind, so looking at that, if you can, and here's the way. We looked at the heart, we're looking at the way again, and we shared together that here's the big now, and the way to work out now, and all the nows, now, this is time. January, February, March, April, May, June, now. To work out all of the moments now. There has to be a way to work it out. And God, John 14:6 and that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can ever come to the Father except by me. No one can ever get there. Can't get there. I'm the way. God, the now. Whose now is it? It's God's now. And he's the one that's going to work out now in all the nows. That's what we got to do. And in the process of that, so we share that together. Humans, because of sin, has a problem with now. And they don't see now, they don't understand now, they don't understand that God has anything in mind. So therefore, just to get us on the page as we do this, go over, if you can, to Ephesians. And in chapter 1, picking up, if I may, and you will note Ephesians chapter 1. May I go directly to verse 4. According as he hath chosen us, how so? In him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, before anything ever is. That, what's the purpose of his design, purpose now? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's when nothing exists. So God has a wonderful plan for all humans. Here we are sitting here, us humans. And God has a wonderful plan for Israel. Israel didn't do good with the plan. They just didn't do good. So we're going to look at that. And you know, in the light of the way, I'm the way, God has a now, God has a wonderful purpose to create us, to be born, to be saved. Wonderful. But in the process of all of that, Isaiah 53, go to that, and that'll keep you in the outworking of it, just so you know. And remember, remind yourself, Isaiah 53, and picking up if I can, in verse 6 directly, remember Isaiah 53, is about the crucifixion of Christ. So that's what we're looking at. And why did he die? Because, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, the penalty, the punishment, the transgression. God has put it all on top of him. In other words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I'm the only way. Because everyone's doing their own way. And you know from Judges 21 and that, 25, you know that everyone, what was the characteristic of that whole period and thereafter? Everyone was doing that which was right in their own eyes. So is anyone paying attention to nows? No, we're busy trying to work out the world system's busy trying to work it out. The Jews in the world system are trying to work it out. That's what they're trying to do. Now, Proverbs 16, and add to that, in Proverbs, in chapter 16, picking up if I can in Proverbs and chapter 16 and in verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So people are all living across the face of the earth, and they're all doing what they feel, think is right for them right now. And they're always doing that. That's what the world does. Is the world conscious of God having a wonderful plan to save them and a wonderful purpose for in eternity to be with him? No. No, they aren't. Not generally speaking. Not any way whatsoever. So everyone turns in his own way. And we just shared that in the light of that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, here's Israel. Now, Israel, we're looking at God has a wonderful heart, a new way, all the way to go with God. But Israel isn't on that page. So, A, let's lock on to why, so we don't go back and forth with it. Israel forfeited, rejected the way, the now. They didn't want now. They didn't want what God had in mind. That's why in Samuel and all that, they said, give us a king like the world has. We don't want a king like you have. We don't want you as king, God. We want a world like the world has. That's what we want. We want to verify that and lock onto it. So that we got that part straight for a reason. Over, if I can, please, to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, picking up, in chapter 2, you'll catch it. Let it sink in. What you're doing is like a jury, going and looking and is God's, what he's doing. He's ruining, he's leveling Jerusalem. And the people, the Jewish nation, is getting devastated, destroyed, as it were, in one sense. But God has said, while that is happening, I have a wonderful plan. All that's happening does not reduce, change my plan. It delays my plan from a human standpoint. It doesn't change it. I have a new heart, a new way. I have a wonderful plan for Israel. It's not going to go away. So therefore, looking at it, Jeremiah chapter 2 again, picking up again, in chapter 2 and verse 25. This is in the light of the context, remember? The Israel's like a wild donkey in verse 24, out in the wilderness in heat, chasing other donkeys. Their donkeys are all running around wildly. You can't help them. You can't get on them. Wow. That's the context for verse 25. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But in other words, Don't be so caught up in chasing your dreams, chasing everything. You're chasing your idols. You're going after your idols. Don't be chasing after your idols. Don't be thirsting. I've got to drink. I've got to have this. We've got to do this. God said, don't be like a wild donkey out there. And you can't touch them. They're untouchable at the moment. Israel was like that wild donkey. In point, as you read verse 25, withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But what about them? Thou sayest, there is no hope, there is no hope, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. God said, don't. We know there's no hope, but who cares about hope like that? We don't want your hope, God. We want what we want, and we're going after it. And as you read that section without taking time, and you'd read it, and you go all the way down, verse 27 at least, saying to a stalk, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us, to their idols, to their gods. Verse 28, but where are the gods that thou hast made thee? Let them rise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for nothing, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. You're loaded with idolatry, you love idolatry, you're in pursuit of idolatry. That's what you're doing. Chapter 5. Add to that. There's no hope. Chapter 5, verse 31, remember. You know what? 5 and 31. And the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means for their own ends, for their own purpose. And my people love to have it so. In other words, we like how the government's going. We like what the government does. We love it. We're going to stay with it. And what will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do when the consequences come for what you do? What are you going to do then? After you all did everything, what are you going to do? And sliding along if I can. Oh, in chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk, and walk. Good way. And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. All you got to do is do the right thing. Change your course. Get in the way. But they don't want to go in the way. They're not going to have the way. But God in the future is going to make the way one way. They don't want it, and they're going to go without it. But so far, keep going, if I can. And the end of verse 16. But they said, we will not walk therein, etc. And you can keep reading. It's going to say the same thing. Go to verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. He tries to warn them, but prophet after prophet, Jeremiah and all of them, but no one wants to listen to him. No one wants to listen to him. So, therefore, 18, therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because, reason, they have not hearkened unto my words, not to my law, but rejected it. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, chapter 7. And in chapter 7, picking up, please, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Verse 24. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels, in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. They had no interest whatsoever in going forward, no interest in fixing anything. They had no hope. They loved what they did. The way the situation was, it isn't good, it's lousy, but it's the best we got. Chapter 10. And in chapter 10, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, what they did. They don't have any nails. All they do is do what they do, as they do, to work out their own will, their own way. Yes, and it seems right to them, and that's what they're going to do, whatever it takes to do it. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven. They talk about the idols and signs and wonders and all of that. For the heathen nations are dismayed at them. In other words, that's how they read, they worship the system, the world system. Think of what we're doing now. We've got a phony baloney thing of global warming, etc. And we got that, about the big thing, global warming, the trees we need, see. Save the tuna fish, see, and etc. Now, so have you got that? Verse 23, chapter 10. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. God, think of Isaiah 53:6. Everyone turn everyone to his own way. That's what we're doing. People are doing what they want to do. What's right seems right to them in their own eyes. That's what they're doing. And as they do that and exercise all of that, yeah, chapter 12. And so here's Jeremiah living in that atmosphere. When there's so much good and Nebuchadnezzar would disappear, they just didn't have any interest, no matter what. Jeremiah is living, Nebuchadnezzar's leveling the city, he's in prison, or will be in prison. Is in prison and will be until they release him. So chapter 12, here's Jeremiah, and you'll recall it when we did it. Verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? They're all doing their own way, right in their own eyes. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy, that deal very treacherously? The whole thing is lousy, but they love it. The whole thing's going the wrong way, but they love it. What do you do? Jeremiah says, what do I do? I say everything to them. They don't listen, and they're trying to kill me. And actually, they were. He was in prison, sliding down. You remember it. Great. Verse 4, long. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, and for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, we shall not see our last end. And that's such a silly thing, because Nebuchadnezzar is leveling the city. And they said, no, he'll never do it. And they watched the building come down. How can you get like that? Well, it's easy. Now, Jeremiah says, what a horrible situation. Verse 5, God says, Jeremiah, cheer up. Verse 5, if thou hast run with the footmen, remember we did all these wonderful things. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, whither thou trusteth, right now, as it was before all of that, Nebuchadnezzar comes in, and they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? In other words, if you're trying to handle keeping up with the crowd and helping them, what are you going to do when they ride on horses and travel faster? Jeremiah, how much are you going to be able to keep up and help them? And if you're trying to help him when Nebuchadnezzar isn't in the city, what are you going to do when Nebuchadnezzar is in the city? And God said, I'm not changing it, Jeremiah. You're going to have to learn to run with horses, and you're going to have to learn to run with corruption. You're going to have to learn to live with it. That's where it is. And you're going to have to roll up your sleeves. And get ready, hang in there. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 7. And our Lord, and you will note, chapter 7. Picking up, if I can, right in the middle of the context. Chapter 7, verse 13. 7:13. Enter ye in at the strait narrow. Enter ye the straight, narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight, narrow is the gate, and precious straight, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm the only way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I'm the only way to God. Why? I'm going to die on the cross as God. I want to do that. I'm the only way. There's lots of ways. Everyone sees ways that are right in their own eyes. And it's, what's wrong with that way? What's wrong with how I think, you see? And here's the nows taking place. And here's time, they're all doing what they're doing. But the believer is to be looking at God, timelessness, God's timelessness, to be looking at God and his plan. That's what he's doing. He's outworking his wonderful plan. Israel, there they are. Here we are at this part of history, 5 minutes of 12, before the tribulation's coming up here ahead. Israel has no thought of now. They have no thought. Do they have any plans of fixing things? No. The only thing they're going to do that they're going to fix is what? They're going to go and make a treaty with the Antichrist. Daniel 9:27. That's what they're going to do. See? Did you guys fix anything yet? No, not yet. Not yet. There's only one way, but they don't want to know it. So what is the purpose then, God? Well, here we are. And it is our assignment to show and demonstrate. Our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated now. He outworked the will of God, eternal God, in this wonderful, wonderful way. He outworked it on 3.5 years, and he went to the cross, 3 1/3 years, went to the cross and died in his public ministry. Wow. He did that. To what? To show you. To show you there's a way. He said, I am the way. How do I know you're the way? He was crucified and risen. Risen. That you got a terrible, terrible problem trying to solve that one if you don't just understand. He's God. He said he would rise, and he has no problem rising. He's a living God. Living God can't die. The physical body died, but God can't die now. Having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go over one other little exercise in a different way, over to Isaiah, and in chapter 30. And in Isaiah chapter 30, picking up if I can, in verse 1, the context about Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, and Egypt. Woe unto you rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not in me, and that cover with a covering, but not of me, not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, down from bad to worse. Verse 2. That walk to go down into the Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. They wanted Egypt to help them against Assyria, etc. And Nebuchadnezzar, all of that. Help them, see. So, having said that, with that context in mind, verse 9. God, what is their attitude? Verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Verse 10. Which say to the seers, the prophets and everybody that is supposed to help them, see not. Don't you see? To the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Don't tell us the truth. Don't tell us the truth. We don't want to know the truth. That's like today, aren't they? We don't really want to know the truth. We're going where we're going and as we're going, and we don't want to know the truth. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind in Isaiah 30, and in verse 10, prophet and write things, speak unto us, on the contrary, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Tell us a bunch of lies. Now, you would have to ask yourself, from a human standpoint, in the light of our present days, recent history, it is a common thing to tell you a lie without even blinking your eye. It's an absolute falsehood. And they say one thing after another that is absolutely wrong, different. And they have no problem whatsoever in doing it. And the news media won't ever tell you, just fix it. So here we are. Now, that's Jeremiah. Okay. And God's going to have a wonderful future. Now they're back here, but they're going to come up here. And God has that already now. Now, having said that, chapter 30, God, what are you going to do? Verse 15. Chapter 30, Isaiah, verse 15, picking up. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall you be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and all you have to do is do it. And what? They wouldn't do it. See, he didn't ask him to how good or bad, he just said, why don't you just get back on the right road, going down the corridor of time so that I can do what I'm going to do. But they said, in the end of verse 15, we would not. And God said, you'll be sorry. But ye said, what did they say? No. For we will flee upon horses, therefore. Our horses, in other words, the enemy, the bad things that you're thinking, will never happen to us. Therefore shall you flee, and we will ride upon the swift. We'll get away from all the problems. It'll never catch us. Therefore, shall they that pursue thee be swift. You're never going to outrun the problems. You're not going to outrun the consequences of what you're doing. You sowed evil, you're going to have trouble. You reap what you sow. Sliding down. 1,000 shall flee at a rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. In other words, Israel's going to be running away scared. Think of the end of Deuteronomy 28. He tells you, when you come to the end, Israel's history, but jumping back in 28, he told Deuteronomy 28, they haven't even crossed the Jordan. He said, you're going to be on pins and needles, and anti-Semitism will always be there, because until you get back into the way where you win, where I want you to be, I'm never going to let you be accepted anywhere else in the world. Never. And you're going to wake up, you'll never know when Jews, are they after the Jews? See, now, so God, here we are looking, verse 18. God, that's all judgment. But God said, listen, I'm going to wait. A new one heart, one way, I'm going to wait. Verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious. That's why he's waiting. Waiting. He can be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. And for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. So putting us in that understanding, here we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are what? We are representing God's wonderful now, right now. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And you, let's see. Let me do a little further. Wonderful plan, and you know it. Now, in the light of that, In verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. God's going to be on top of everything when you're looking to him. And God's going to be gracious. What are you waiting for to be gracious, God? I'm waiting for them to change their heart, to go my way, to go in the light of my now, my wonderful plan for their life. I'm waiting for them to do that. I'm going to be gracious. In the meantime, Christ died on the cross to show his grace. And we are what? Believers. What are we sitting here for? We're believers demonstrating God's grace. We're all, if you're saved, we're all saved by grace. We're demonstrating something to the world that God is gracious to save and has a wonderful plan, and his wonderful plan for your life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, and that's what they were having and will have in the tribulation, and the water of affliction. Boy, that isn't very comforting. Yet your God's going to do it in the outworking of their now. Verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Now, little part, just a thing to note. In the Hebrew Bible, that is a singular. There are six manuscripts that make it a plural, and that's what they put here. It's singular. And when you think about it, there's not a lot of teachers. And if we don't have time to do it, but if we did, God's the teacher. Spirit of God is the teacher. There are not 50 of them. God is. He's the teacher, one teacher. I understand the plural. I understand that a little bit. I got it. But I just want you to know that. I knew you'd be excited that six manuscripts have only six manuscripts have the plural. So, but that's written in the margin, the plural, not the singular. Anyway. And that's what you got. So it isn't a big thing. And most people will never read what we just read and don't care about it. Right? I mean, who cares? Who cares about anything anyway? So, verse 21. Now that's where we're going. Thine ears shall hear. The teacher's going to tell you this is the way. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, then what? Walk ye in it. This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, wherever you go, and you want to put that little verse right there to connect that to Joshua chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, 2, 3, and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I what? Given you. So whether you go up, down, backwards, forwards, on where you are, so therefore when you read, when we turn to the left and turn to the right, whichever way you go, other places will tell you, this is what I just said, this is right. But when you're walking in the world, when you're walking on the piece of property that belongs to God, like in Joshua chapter 1, that's one thing. When you're walking in the world system, here we are. We're left in the world system. We aren't of it. We're of it. We're in it. So therefore, the world system's every old which way, doing right in their own eyes. So what are we doing? We stay. Not going. Don't go to the right. That's all the verses that say, don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Don't do that. Stay right on course. Stay straight on course. So you see the difference. Now, hands, and when we turn to the right and to the left. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and over in all of that, wonderful things. So, putting that quickly, just a little bit, not very much, but just enough to get it so you have something, a little. Remember, we're to walk by faith. God's going to work his wonderful will out. And you walk by faith. You have to walk by faith. So you're walking, and the world will do that. But in taking home something, and as it were, here's God's big now. And that's what God's working out. His wonderful, wonderful now. That's what he wants. So therefore, over in Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2. And you will note, Ephesians chapter 2, picking up, if I can, remember, we'll walk by faith, not by sight. Now God, in the light of all of that, and we're saved by grace for God, in verse chapter 2 and verse 9, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, before you were ever created, in the big now, in the now. That's what God does. Israel, here's Israel, but here you are. And you have to work out on the nows. What are you doing? You're working out the nows. The now, the nows, in the light of the now, that's what you're doing. And you eat and drink and come and go and do whatever you have to do and work, homeschool, and easy, hard, in the world that's troubled and troubling. That's right. That's what you do. And verse 10, we're to work out the good works, work unto the good, to Christ in you, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should, what? Walk in them. This is the way, walk ye in it. That's what I told you. He said, but Israel won't do that. So here's us believers, walking in the way, and what are we doing? They don't, the world doesn't care anything about what we just said. They don't even dream about it. But it's all real. God has a wonderful plan. That's why we're breathing. That's why we confess our sin. That's why we get out of bed. When we fall down, we get up. When we break our nose or whatever we have to do, we get up and keep going. That's what we have to do. That's the way it is, because God has to, this now is going to, remember Sunday, this now becomes this. And every second you can't capture a second, the seconds are too fast. You can't capture time. You just can't do it, because it's gone. The minute I closed my hands, I'd lost it, because you can't capture a second. A minute, second, two. 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 1, 2, move. You can never stop it. You can never catch it. Wow. But the nows, the now, God's working out his nows. Now you're here, perception, change, and you understand, you're learning, you're growing, hopefully, understanding better, so that you're proceeding down the corridor of time based on God's wonderful plan for your life. God has a wonderful plan, outworking his good works, and he wants you to walk in them. Walk in them. Wants you to outwork them. When? Now. Outwork that plan. Think of Colossians over, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. I don't mean to go time. Oh, we have to stop. But anyway, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and the great prayer to the church in Colossae. Here's the prayer. God's will in the prayer. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, I want you to walk out work. We'll close with that. You got it? You walk out. One, now. And you're going to go out the door, and it'll be now. You get in the car now. You're going to get out of the car now. You're going to, maybe you'll find your bed, maybe you won't. And you're going to get in bed now, and you're going to go. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to get out of bed and go to work, go to school. No, that's what you're going to do. In the light of what? God's wonderful nows. He has a wonderful plan. And he wants you to outwork it. It's his workmanship. That's what he's going to do. And what's the world going to do? The world has to pay attention, at least in grace. But you know what? The world doesn't care about seeing grace. And the world doesn't care about your nows. God does. God cares.